The Old Testament reading is from the book of Amos, chapter 5, verses 18 through 24. And they sound kind of negative until the last verse. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. Why do you want the day of the Lord? It is darkness, not light. As if someone fled from a lion and was met by a bear, or went into a house and rested a hand against the wall and was bitten by a snake. Is not the day of the Lord darkness, not light, and gloom with no brightness in it? I despise your festivals. I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the offerings of well-being of your fatted animals I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs, and I will not listen to the melody of your harps. But let justice roll down like water, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream.
New Testament scripture this morning is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others do, who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself, with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air, so that we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. May God add his blessing and lend understanding to the reading of this word. Is anybody here ever moved? Raise your hand if you've ever moved. You never moved from one place to another? Some of you, I thought everybody's hand would go up. Oh my goodness. All right. Yeah, sure you have. Sure you have. The average person in the United States moves 11.7 times. I don't know what that 7/10 of a move is like. But they move 11.7 times in their lifetime. And the biggest reason for moving is work. You go to get the job, or a job, you want to get closer to where your job is. In Europe, the average is only 4 times. And there's a lot of reasons for that. One of the reasons for the difference is that in the U.S., you really can move anywhere. You can move all the way to Alaska, all the way to Hawaii, you know, from the northeast all the way to the southwest. You can move anywhere, and everybody speaks English. So if you speak English, you're not going to have a language barrier wherever you go. And so it makes it easy for people to move around, besides the fact that our history starts with a move. Somebody in your past was moved themselves here, or was moved here. And so everything began with a move. And so moving is just kind of in our DNA here. And when people move, there is a fixed moving date, quite often. And everybody knows it's coming. Sometimes for months in advance. And a rational person would divide all of the packing, all of the sorting, and cleaning by the number of days ahead, and then do a certain amount of work each day. You know, just a little bit at a time, piece by piece. And then by moving day, everything's ready to go. It's just a matter of moving the furniture and, you know, and the boxes. And it's just simple and easy, right? Is that how your move went? None of mine have ever gone that way either. That's because rarely are human beings rational. Everything comes to a crunch at crunch time. It's moving day, and now you got to be ready. And in that moving day, we combine 3 to 4 days worth of work in one big, long, exhausting day. It's now or never. This is the finality. It has to happen today, tomorrow. The new people are moving in, probably, or whatever is going to happen next, and you have to get out. And today's scriptural passages, which were lectionary passages, chosen by the powers that be in the lectionary years ago, they talk about moving days, but they're not talking about with a move that's done for employment. These moving days are the day of the Lord. In Amos, a nation's about to be destroyed because of its sins, because of its unwillingness to listen to the laws and rules that God had set up for them that would have provided for their needs. And made sure that nobody was hungry, and made sure there was justice throughout the land, and made sure everybody was worshiping God, the one true God, instead of false gods. All these things had been set up, but they didn't listen, and having had enough, it was the day of the Lord. You've had your chance, you've had lots of days of your own where you did things your way, and now today, God said, it's going to be my day, and I'm going to cleanse away all this dross that you've got, and get rid of the extra stuff that you've got. And it's not going to be nice for those who depend on all that dross. And likewise, in Thessalonians, in the passage that I read, it's a moving day of sorts. The life as we know it is ending. And we're moving on to a new kind of life, eternal life, in God's great kingdom. I don't know why the lectionary powers that be choose those kinds of passages right now. Isn't this supposed to be, we're looking forward to Turkey Day? Isn't this supposed to be Christmas is coming, we're shopping, the stores are getting decorated and lighted up? Well, they have a church year. They have a liturgical church year. And it starts December 3rd with the beginning of Advent. And that's when we welcome the coming of the Savior. And so really, this Sunday, next Sunday, and the Sunday after that, these are the last 3 Sundays of the liturgical year. It's near the end. The end is near in the liturgical year. And so it's appropriate to talk about the day of the Lord, the day when everything ends. In the Thessalonians passage, we talk about the pattern that we're in. Or we are talking about the end of the pattern that we're in. Right now, our pattern is to accumulate things, whether earned or inherited, money, houses, cars, trinkets of all kinds, or in personal life. Our marriages, our friendships, our communities, we build these things up. We have a bunch of stuff that we got, and we have a bunch of people that we have. You know, you don't think of them as an item to be collected, and yet you do have relationships. You've networked. You've got all of these friends and relationships, and they're all part of who you are. And you've put your hope in those things. But then the day of the Lord comes. And suddenly you realize if that's where your hope lies, you don't have any hope at all. And Paul reminds us not to be like those who have no hope. Paul encourages us to be a believer. Because believers have a hope beyond all the things we might accumulate. Believers have a hope beyond the people we know even. Believers have a hope through Jesus Christ of eternal life. So Thessalonians speaks of a day when the dead will be resurrected, when we'll all be made to meet the Lord in the air. You assume that Jesus ascended up in heaven years ago and is coming back down for us. And that the dead who are in the ground and ourselves who stand on the ground will be going up to meet him. And we will meet together in the air, in the middle somewhere. And where do we go from there? It doesn't really say a place, just a state of being. A place of a new heaven, a new earth. Is that going to be up there or is that going to be down here? I've talked to theologians who think of it both ways. Ron Sider, who taught at Eastern University, an American Baptist seminary, he thought that the new heaven, the new earth, will be right here, right where we're standing right now, that God's going to come down and renew everything. And all of the things that about this earth that it's characterized by, loss and death, suffering, earthquakes, famines, droughts, all those things go away. And we have firm ground to stand on in the love of God, and everything's made well. And others think we go fluttering back to heaven, and it's a new place up there, and everything's perfect there. I know not which way it'll be. And I don't mean to sound callous, but in a sense, I don't care. Because it's going to be good. I know whom I've believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. The day of the Lord will be a terrible day for those who are hoping to keep their stuff. It'll be a miserable day for those who want to hang on to their relationships with people. But it'll be a day of hope for those who want to hang on to the most important relationship they'll ever have in their existence. That's Jesus. That's when it becomes a day of hope and bright promise forever and ever. I didn't pick these passages, the lectionary powers that be did, but I composed this at the end of a week of sadness. I declare all this at the end of a week of loss. But I don't say all this at a time when I've lost my hope. Moving day's coming. And unlike every other moving day we've ever experienced, we don't need to prepare our stuff. Only our hearts. Moving day is the day of the Lord. And all the dross that we have. And all of the things we cling to that ultimately leave us hopeless are let go of. And what we gain is life in a kingdom where hope springs eternal.